Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Jordan Malley along with Matt Peck, live on Dash Radio, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time, Dash Radio and the Dash Radio app. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, and Google Play. And anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. So there's been a lot of buzz with teams over the last 48 hours. There's been teams that have been involved with talking about Nico Mirotic and whether his value's high or not. But certainly the Bulls now in the last 48 hours have put themselves in a place where at least they have a little bit more leverage than they did maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago with Nico Mirotic. And so a combination of him playing well, and now a couple teams might be just interested in acquiring Nico Mirotic's services.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to see where we are now, Jordan, compared to where we were as we were entering the season, even before the Bobby and Nico stuff happened, to think, you know, maybe, you know, could Nico hypothetically be a piece that the Bulls try to deal, specifically with the draft selection of Lauri Markkanen. And then obviously that sentiment increased when Markkanen ended up getting that starting job because Nico was injured and Bobby was suspended. So, I mean, obviously most of what we've heard over the last 48 hours or so has been about a potential deal with the Utah Jazz, because it sounds like that's where Nico wants to go, and it sounds like the Jazz are also interested. Obviously, we've also heard that Detroit and Portland are potential trade partners there. So you hope that the fact that there are multiple teams at least somewhat interested in Nico means that his trade value is increasing. And you wonder if the Bulls front office will be able to lock down what they have said their goal is in this trade, which is to get a first-round pick for Nico. And, you know, obviously we're getting closer, less than a week now, until that January 15th date when they are eligible, when Nico becomes trade eligible. And there is a window of time between the 15th and February 8th. So it might not necessarily happen right away if the Bulls don't see an offer on the table that they like. If Utah is reluctant to give up a first-round pick, even a first-round pick with some protections on it, and the Bulls think that they still have a shot at getting that kind of pick from somewhere else, whether it's Detroit, whether it's Portland, whether it's a team that we aren't even aware of that they might be calling, that might be something that we see happen, that the Bulls kind of wait this out. And if what their initial goal of was getting a first-round pick for Nico, they might wait to try to make that happen instead of just, you know, swapping, you know, Nico for Derek Favors because Utah's there and ready to make a deal.
Yeah, I want to start there, including the Utah Jazz's news today kind of coming out and saying that Derek Favors is part of that package, which is, like, it's not surprising. We talked about it yesterday on the episode where David Locke had talked about Derek Favors possibly being one of those expiring contracts the Bulls would look at, but it's not going to be a straight up trade. And so that's why I want to kind of dive in a little bit more to the Detroit Pistons and Portland Trailblazers being two teams that might be interested in Nico as well, and kind of playing to the leverage of those two teams. We're also going to take your mailbag questions at the second half of the show. So if you want to hear your questions answered, we're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff from Twitter and email as well. So questions coming for there. But let's start with the Utah Jazz. So it sounds like Derek Favors would be an obvious part of this deal. It seems like that would at least be a starting point. I don't see why Derek Favors would benefit the Bulls at all. On an expiring contract, a player that you're not necessarily going to keep around, if you don't get anything else for it, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense for the Bulls. And if you're the Utah Jazz, attaching a first-round pick right now, like we had talked about, the Jazz are in the lottery right now. And with that pick being so volatile, I'm not sure if they would attach a first round pick to that. So now you have to talk about a possible three-way deal or looking at some of these other teams that might be interested in Nico Mirotic. But right now it sounds like I wouldn't be, if I was Utah, I wouldn't be attaching that first round pick to just Derek Favors if I'm only getting Nico back. And that's just what I've heard from Utah Jazz. It's what I've been reading. And it that's kind of the consensus. It wouldn't make any sense for the Utah Jazz to give up right now.
Yeah, to me, it seems like that's the main hang-up right now. Is it like, that's the divide that exists between these two teams striking a deal, is that the Bulls want a first-round pick for Nico, and if you're Utah, I don't really think you want to attach a first-round pick, certainly a pick that, you know, as of right now, if Utah doesn't turn things around, right now they're slated to draft 11th. And so it's not like they'll have great ping-pong ball odds to land a top pick, but they are in the lottery. And are you willing to sacrifice your chance at a premier lottery pick for a role player like Nico Mirotic? To me, that doesn't really add up. So from the Bulls' perspective, a one player for one player swap with Derek Favors makes no sense because you're really not getting anything.
Yeah, that's out the window.
I mean, Favors is on an expiring deal. So the Bulls are looking to add a player on an expiring contract because they want that cap flexibility going on into next season, and they want a draft pick attached to that. So to me, like, I know that Utah would love to move Favors and get something for him because, A, he's not really working with Gobert in their front court right now, and Rudy Gobert is, you know, maybe a week away from returning from his injury, and obviously he is a piece that Utah is trying to build around. And much like the Bulls traded Taj last season at the deadline, they're trying to get something for Favors instead of nothing and seeing him walk in free agency. So obviously that's the piece that they're really trying to attach. We've also heard that they might be trying to sell the Bulls on taking Alec Burks because his contract is close enough to match with Nico's, but the Bulls don't want Burks because he's got another year for the 2018-19 season that the Bulls aren't really interested in keeping him on board for. So there seems to be a divide right now between what the Bulls want and what the Jazz are willing to give up. And if I'm Utah, I'm not, unless I put very specific and at least in the case of the 2018 draft, strict restrictions on that first round pick, I'm not attaching it to Derek Favors.
Yeah, and this is how we're going to kind of see the Bulls negotiating skills play out, especially over the next couple weeks. Like you said, if Monday hits and we don't see a deal for Nico, and I'm kind of in the camp where I think the Bulls are going to try to push Nico out as quickly as possible and not necessarily sit on this, and that's why they're getting multiple teams involved, and that's why even they're talking about these deals leading up to Monday. And I feel like holding Zach LaVine out for this long too, and we kind of talked about that, how Zach LaVine said he was, you know, he felt ready to go 2 months ago. Whether or not that's actually true or not, Zach LaVine probably could have came back earlier than maybe what the Bulls are doing right now, but they're setting it up so Nico and Zach LaVine are on the court for the Bulls at a minimal cost, and a minimal cost to wins and where the Bulls want to be in the lottery. So that's another thing that I think we should look at when we're talking about some of these teams. What teams are super aggressive right now in trying to add talent? What teams are legitimately interested? And that's why I think we should bring in the Detroit Pistons, which we've kind of heard that the Pistons are involved now yesterday.
I mean, to your point, Jordan, about you wouldn't be surprised to see the Bulls, you know, make a move on Nico right away. I was saying maybe they're going to try to hold out to get that first round pick that they're looking for. Maybe another possibility is that a deal is already in place and maybe it's Utah or maybe it's somebody else. But an interesting detail to me is the fact that here we sit on Wednesday afternoon and it sounds like Nico Mirotic did travel with the team to New York, but he is doubtful for the game against the Knicks tonight. And his stomach virus, quote unquote, came up first last Friday.
Yeah, they got the Pistons on Saturday, so that's when Zach LaVine's going to return. And so I would say, yeah, that's probably like an indicator. I don't know. I would imagine that if the Bulls are seriously talking with either the Pistons, the Trailblazers, and even the Utah Jazz, that Nico would probably be in the lineup on Saturday if he's feeling 100%. Especially if you're trying to draw or pique Pistons' interest, why not play him against a team like that? So that, to me, I feel like if you get one of these other teams involved, and specifically the Pistons, to kind of play leverage to the Utah Jazz, it sounds like, from what most Pistons people are saying, that the Pistons would be willing to give up something like John Lewis, and I don't even know if the Bulls would be willing to take that deal on, because John Lewis still has 2 years left on his deal. He's 28 years old, and you'd get your first round pick with that, but then you'd have to give up and sacrifice your words on saying that you only want an expiring veteran contract that you can kind of dump that money into. So you'd have to be willing to sort of leverage, and I think that's something else that you got to play into the factor of maybe the Trailblazers being involved too, as well as being willing to negotiate taking on a deal that includes a player for more than just this season, and taking out a player for maybe one more season or two more seasons, if you can strike the right deal. And that goes back to, how important is that first round pick to you? Is the first round pick super important to you, more important than taking on a deal that might be a year or two extra? I'm not sure what the Bulls front office is really feeling about that.
Yeah, the Bulls front office constantly talks to their fan base about cap flexibility, at least in the last couple of years. And it sounds like, I'm not expecting the Bulls to be major players in free agency this summer. I just don't really think that they're there yet. And even when they have looked like they are a team, if not a championship contender, at least a relevant team that's, you know, a perennial playoff team, even in those days, the Bulls have trouble luring those big name free agents. So when it comes to what kind of trades they might make here in the next month or so leading up to the deadline, and the decisions they make based on cap flexibility, what we kept hearing was, like, hey, maybe we'll take on a bad contract if there's an asset attached to it. So that's still another element in play, although recently it seems like that hasn't necessarily been the focus as far as taking on a bad contract. It sounds like the last we've heard is that they want to take on an expiring contract with a pick attached to it. So it sounds like the Bulls front office is getting greedier, and they that could be them trying to spin this value of Nico Mirotic to say, yeah, you're getting a good player from us. Like, have you watched Nico play for the last month and a half? You got to give us something that we want. And let's hope that the Bulls front office is savvy enough to pull off a move like that.
So here's, finally, to wrap up just kind of the idea of maybe the Bulls pulling off a deal with the Pistons. Here's what the Athletic's Detroit's Duncan Smith said about the deal and a possible deal getting done with the Pistons. I think the Pistons should be prepared to enter a rebuild, and as a result, they should avoid trading picks that aren't heavily protected or young players like Stanley Johnson and Luke Kennard. Unfortunately, those assets are going to be a top mine for the Bulls, so I don't think this is a deal the Pistons should be eager to pursue. So that's kind of like, where do the Pistons stand? Are they going to try to go for it right now? How well would Nico fit into a system where Tobias Harris has struggled at the three, and you're going to put Nico Mirotic at the four, and it's obvious from what the Bulls tried to experiment with him, he can't play the three. So is that something, really a move that Detroit is willing to make right now? And if I'm the Bulls, if you don't get that first round pick, Stanley Johnson's got to be attached to that deal. And I don't think I would take anything less than a first-round deal, even if I had to take on the John Lewis contract. But it sounds like the Pistons aren't too, like, they're poking their head in, but they're not 100% in.
Yeah, and with Detroit, and this is also worth mentioning for Portland, there is still the factor of Nico's no-trade clause, because we have heard that Nico wants to go play in Utah. Obviously, they are a team that is desperately in need of a floor-spacing power forward, and Nico fits that bill exactly. And especially if Utah finds a way to move Favors, Nico can come in and be their starter right away. And Nico wants to be a starter. And in Detroit and Portland, you know, if he gets traded to either of those teams, does he become the starter right away? Does he even have an interest in playing? I mean, more so than the Bulls, obviously, those are looking like two playoff teams, or at least teams that are fighting for a playoff spot right now. Detroit's currently seventh, seated in the East in a very tight, you know, 5-8, and basically the same for Portland. Portland's fifth in the West right now, but 5-8 in the West are very tight. So, I mean, but we haven't heard the same thing about Nico. Yes, he wants to go play in Utah. We haven't heard that about Detroit and Portland. So if that were the case, if the Bulls strike up a deal with Detroit or Portland, they might have to pick up the second year option on Nico's deal, because in that case, he would lose the trade veto that is in his power right now.
So quickly, let's touch on Portland, too, because I think this is an interesting team. We talked about it when we were talking about doing our run-through of team-by-team for the Western Conference. That episode was on Monday, so if you didn't catch that episode, you should go download that episode. It was good. We went through a bunch of different teams and scenarios that included the Utah Jazz, the Suns, even, and the Portland Trailblazers. But I want to come back to this deal because it seems like the Trailblazers would be an interesting spot, not only for a deal for Nico to play in a system where he would start right away, but also a system where he's playing in a team that seems it would fit and open up spots for Nico to be an offensive force. It would make sense in terms of what the Bulls could get back, and Portland has things to offer. And so the growing consensus around Portland acquiring Nico Mirotic seems to be that the Bulls would have to take on something like we had talked about Myers Leonard, and Myers Leonard's still got 2 years left on his deal. And if you think about it, if you take a step back and think about adding Myers Leonard to a deal for Nico Mirotic, obviously the pick would have to be involved. So you're adding Myers Leonard plus the first round pick. I think Portland would have to throw something else in there too as well, maybe Noah Vonleh or something like that, to sweeten the deal for the Bulls. But a deal like that to take on Myers Leonard, who's only going to make $10 million for the next 2 years, adding him to the mix, if you move Robin Lopez, it could be an option just short term while you're trying to develop some of these other guys. So I think Portland, there's a lot of switching and plugging that you can do for a trade of Nico. Now, whether or not he actually wants to go play in Portland, that's another scenario. But I think interesting teams that have a lot of value, I think Portland draws a lot of value, and so does Utah. The Pistons, not so much.
But before we get to that mailbag, got to talk to our Locked On Bulls listeners about draft. And Jordan and I have some fun news for you guys today about draft. For all of you guys that love fantasy sports out there, did you know that the chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why draft is our favorite fantasy site, and we're getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just us. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft and are loving it. You can play in a real live NBA draft right now, be done in under 5 minutes, and get paid out the very next day. Drafts are filling every second, so you can join one whenever you want. Even better, all new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you use your when you make your first deposit using your promo code LOBULLS. That's right, play in a real money draft for free just by using promo code LOBULLS. But it gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Bulls listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and play for free right now with the promo code LOBULLS. And to our Bulls fans out there, Draft is really a fun and easy-to-use site and easy-to-use app. And Jordan and I are going to start playing with you guys every Wednesday. You can actually just find us and follow us. Our account on Draft is just Locked On Bulls. And starting next week, every Wednesday, we're going to create our own league for our Locked On Bulls listeners. And you can join and play with us, play against us. And we'll do a draft every Wednesday from here on out. Really looking forward to that.
All right, so let's get to our mailbag here. And so we had a lot of questions this week. So you can ask us mailbag questions, anything, your thoughts on the Bulls. Send us an email at lockedonbulls@gmail.com or on Twitter and Facebook as well. You can contact us there. Send us your questions there. But so our first one of the week comes from Larry Hughes all the way in Alabama. He asks, referring back to our Monday episode of talking about Western Conference teams, we had a discussion about the Lakers. He asked, why would the Lakers be interested in trading for Nico Mirotic? The team currently sits with the fifth best odds to get a top five pick. What would be the Lakers' incentive of making this deal?
I mean, that's a tough question. I mean, it's kind of hard to see, at least at immediate face value, what that incentive is. We talked a little bit about the Lakers. I can't remember if it was yesterday's show or Monday's show, and kind of the limbo and the no man's land they're in right now as far as what they're trying to do and what their timeline is for when they want to become competitive, when they're trying to become competitive, and also the biggest friggin' wild card that exists in the NBA, which is that LeBron James has another big decision to make this summer, whether he wants to stay in Cleveland or move on elsewhere, and if the Lakers are in fact a potential suitor. So, I mean, with that being the case, I don't really know how active at all the Lakers will plan on being at this deadline. I mean, they have, from reports we've heard from LA, is that certain players like Larry Nance and Julius Randle and Jordan Clarkson are all being made available. So there is that to consider. But as far as picks that the Lakers are dealing with, I mean, that's a different beast, and I feel like Magic Johnson's going to try to keep and not give away any draft
picks. I think this one's pretty easy, too, is now we've kind of considered what the Bulls have been at an asking price for Nico Mirotic. I think the only way that this incentivizes the Lakers is if they're trying to dump contracts. I think that's the first and most important thing to understand here, is to try to free up money for the summer to try to maybe get Paul George or, like you said, LeBron James. So that Dame contract is sitting looming large in the Lakers front office. So that could be a contract.
And apparently they've given up trying to move that Dame contract. We've heard that several times over the last few
days. So I think the only way a Bulls Nico Mirotic to the Lakers deal gets done is if it more than likely would be the fact that nobody around the league wants to give the Bulls a first round pick. So then this would mean that the Bulls are willing to take on a longer than an expiring contract in Dang, plus get players back in return that could be young and valuable, like you had said, like Larry Nance Jr., somebody like Jordan Clarkson. And even if they're willing to give up on Brandon Ingram or some of those other those younger stars, maybe Julius Randle too as well. So I think that would be the only way that the Lakers would be even interested in Nico Mirotic. And it sounds like that the Bulls aren't even interested in taking on long-term deals, and they want that first round pick. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for the Lakers.
I agree. All right, let's move on to our next question. This one comes from Jacob on Twitter. How do you see Denzel and Holiday roles going forward now that Zach is back? Zach LaVine making his season debut against the Pistons on Saturday. We talk about Denzel a lot on this show just because he's such a frustrating anomaly of, what is he at the NBA level. As far as Justin Holiday, there were a few rumors swirling around that maybe he was a name the Bulls would consider dealing at the deadline as well. I don't think that happens from what I've been hearing. I think the Bulls like his veteran presence, and despite some of his shooting woes this season, I think he's still in their plans to finish out the season in Chicago. As far as his role, at least at the onset, again, nothing is official yet for Saturday's game, but what I've heard is that they are probably going to start by bringing LaVine off the bench and keeping Holiday in the starting backcourt. I think that you will see that kind of transition the more time LaVine has and the more he becomes comfortable playing with these teammates. And then as far as Denzel, I don't know. Jordan, what do you think about the return of LaVine and what it means for Denzel? Certainly not a starter anymore, right?
Yeah, so I think to go along with Denzel Valentine too, you have to throw David Nwaba's name in there as well, and how they're going to rotate in. And it seems like David Nwaba is going to be a favorable matchup. As we've heard from Fred Hoiberg, he wants to see Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and David Nwaba in the same rotation, same sort of lineup. So I think he's going to be favored even over Denzel Valentine, or even maybe even Justin Holiday. You're going to see Justin Holiday's numbers get cut. I can definitely see that. He'll probably still be a vital role off the bench or even in a starter's capacity. Whether or not they go with Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and Justin Holiday, I would assume that might be the kick there. But for Denzel Valentine, I think unless he plans on, coming out and scoring over 40% from the field and being not the score first type of guy and playing more towards a team role, he's going to see his minutes cut too as well. And we said that he's been inconsistent, maybe a guy that could benefit from the secondary unit coming off the bench. But I think in terms of volume of minutes that Denzel Valentine's going to get, it's probably going to get cut, but it might be good for him too. Playing with that second unit has done well for Jerian Grant, at least over the last 4 weeks. So maybe it'll do some good for Denzel Valentine too.
Let's hope so. I think you and I can have both sort of agreed on multiple instances on this show that that's kind of how we see Denzel in the NBA. He's not a starter. Hopefully he is a solid role player on the team coming off the bench, and maybe that's kind of where he finds his niche in the back half of the season.
So this one comes from Johnny. He says via email, so should the Bulls be talking to Cleveland about a potential move for Lopez, Holiday, or Mirotic? Any chance that they would shop the Brooklyn pick?
Ha! That's hilarious. are you kidding? No. There is no way Cleveland shopping that Brooklyn pick. I've heard some people say, like, well, it doesn't really like go in line with, they're an old team that's trying to contend now. They're trying to convince LeBron to stay. And, a young kid, probably a one-and-done 19-year-old, is not going to convince LeBron to hang around Cleveland if they can't get it done again this year, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so you still need to have that as your contingency plan, right? If you're the Cavs front office, if LeBron leaves, we need to have another young, hopefully a potential young stud waiting in the wings that we'll draft in 2018 that we can, you know, hopefully pair with some other talent. And they also have to, you know, consider whether or not they plan on re-signing Isaiah Thomas. You know, that'll be a big decision for them too. But come on. There is no way in hell the Bulls are getting that Brooklyn pick away from Cleveland. Negative percent chance.
So I will throw an idea out there for a possible deal with Cleveland. It doesn't involve that Brooklyn pick, obviously. So if you were the Bulls and you wanted to create some type of three-way deal, maybe incorporate Utah into the deal, and Utah's not fully ready to give up their first-round pick, maybe you include Cleveland in some type of deal where you would get Cleveland's first-round pick, which sits at 25th right now, so you'd getting a back half of the lottery, like not back half of the lottery, back half of the draft type of pick, so anywhere between 25 and 30. That could be sort of advantageous for the Bulls, especially if they're going to get some type of player in return if they move Robin Lopez or a combination of Nico and Robin. Maybe Derek Favors is more of a player to what Cleveland would want in the short term if that means that they only have to give up their own first round pick. So that could maybe potentially make some sense in a deal for Cleveland. But like you said, there's no way they're giving up that Brooklyn pick with the volatility of where their team sits right now and the fact that you still have to, LeBron still has to make a huge decision in the offseason to whether or not they need to stay or not. So I don't see that Brooklyn pick leaving, but the Cleveland's own pick though could be a potential option.
Yeah, it could be. Absolutely. I mean, that is certainly in play more so than the Brooklyn pick. All right, let's do one more mailbag here. This comes from Ver Rojo on Twitter. I don't know if you knew this, Jordan, but that means see red in Spanish. is it out of the realm of possibility for Markkanen to play the five and to go after a guy in free agency like Gordon, Jabari, or Randall and then target the draft for the best possible player? He had a previous question, you know, talking about some of the free agent names that are out there, and maybe do you target a free agent four and shift Markkanen to the five? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that what the Bulls need to do in terms of the free agency need to be careful. They need to find quality deals that are going to benefit them, not spend all this money just because they're one of the few teams that's going to have a ton of cap room this offseason. This isn't really the offseason that you need to do that. I think picking up young guys on controllable contracts and players that the Bulls feel like that they can invest in. Now, is that players like Jabari Parker? I don't know. Like, it depends on what Jabari Parker is going to ask for in free agency and whether or not the Bucks are willing to match if they're going to drive up that cost. So other players in free agency, I wouldn't look at big names because the Bulls are obviously not players in that, but talent that's, I think, under 25, contracts that you can control, and potentially maybe even veterans that you could pick up on short-term deals, and then they play well and then flip them next year. Like, those are possible deals that the Bulls need to be looking to make. Flip as many players that you can get with the money that you have and go out and get those assets for next year. I think those are the two plans that the Bulls need to have in place. Whether or not they end up in the top five getting the lottery draft, that's still, I think, your free agency moves make sense, and they need to be drove by those two things. Getting quality veteran free agents on short-term deals that you can flip for picks or for young talent, and going after advantageous deals for players under 25.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And then to address the Markkanen specific part of Rojo's question when it comes to what the Bulls are doing with their free agency and shifting him around the floor. I mean, I think, and you know, maybe Rojo was worrying and you know, kind of considering into his question that the Bulls are kind of now out on the outside looking in when it comes to landing one of those premier bigs in the draft, whether it's DeAndre Ayton, whether it's Bagley, whether it's Mo Bamba, to pair with Markkanen in the front court. And, you know, do you see potential for Markkanen playing the five at the NBA level? I mean, yeah, I think it's feasible. You know, obviously it depends a lot on who the Bulls' opponent is on any given night. You know, I think what one thing that Hoiberg has done some, but I would like to see him do more of, is try to find those mismatches for Markkanen on the floor when they exist, when he can use his size and score down low instead of being a one-dimensional shooter from the perimeter. So, I mean, as far as drafting for position or drafting for best available and whether your free agency plans, you know, kind of have an effect and an impact on that, I think that finding the best available player in the draft in 2018 should be the priority. And I think, like you said, Jordan, the free agency thing is an afterthought. They're not going after any big names this summer, and they shouldn't. And even if they end up being somewhere 5 to 10, you still go best available, regardless of where you want Markkanen playing on the floor.
Just quickly to wrap up, there's also a question about Markkanen from Chris Theodosis via email. He said, Sean and Cody were running the show. They found it absurd that I predicted that in their preseason mailbag that Lowry would average 14 points per game, yet he's averaging 14.9 right now. He said, my question is, what's his ceiling and what's his floor now
the that
you know he surpassed his expectations? Matt, I'll let you touch on that.
Well, I think when they said that, as they were wrapping up their final few episodes, gearing up for the start of this Bulls season, they didn't know that Markkanen was going to be a starter. Right, I mean, they probably laughed off your idea that Markkanen can average 14 points per game as a rookie, thinking that he was going to be playing behind Nico Mirotic and battling Bobby Portis for minutes. That was kind of the case when Sean and Cody were wrapping things up before they departed. So in their defense, I think that's where that logic comes from. As far as Markkanen's floor and ceiling, I think we've seen his floor, and his floor is higher than we expected. I mean, it's a silver lining situation that he has won the starting job. It came out of an ugly situation, of course. We've talked about that plenty. As far as the ceiling, I think Markkanen can be an all-star in this league. I really do. He is still so young, and he has so many raw skills at his fingertips. And if he works like Jimmy Butler levels of work ethic on continuing to craft and expand the versatility of his game, and also continuing to make improvements and strides on the defensive end, which I think we can all agree is better than advertised when we drafted him.
The ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is very, very high for Markkanen right now.
I would agree with you, and I think if we're talking in terms of floor, I would say maybe the bottom level that Markkanen would be a part of your rotation on the bench, maybe some more significant minutes, maybe like a six man. And that's like going as low as possible is finding things that are, you know, catastrophe in Lauri Markkanen's first 3 or 4 years.
I don't think he projects any lower than the sixth man on a very good team.
So if you're talking about that, then I think, yeah, exceeding expectations were awesome. You're right about him coming off the bench, having to battle with Nico and Bobby. I think it's not too far and insane to say that if Lauri Markkanen puts the effort in and the work in, like some of those other guys you had named, and more specifically physically, I think if that's one of the concerns, that Lauri Markkanen's too skinny, I think working with the trainers in the NBA, and you've seen players now with the development that happens to NBA players over 3 years. Like, I always go back to the pictures of Giannis when he first came into the league and now what he looks like now. Like, that's work and that's putting in.
He was a stick figure.
And so if you look at that and see if Lauri Markkanen can add some type of muscle, be stronger underneath, like, that's only going to help him. And like, the one absolute no-show positive that we've got from Lauri Markkanen was that he was a pure scorer. So you add that to the size, length, and strength that he could possibly add to his game in 3 years. Like, we're talking about a guy that could be part of what the league is trying to go to. Big men that can play, you know, that can guard anywhere. The big men that can dribble, can shoot from anywhere. Like, this is a player that I'm excited that the Bulls have and have for a while.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And you mentioned, you know, his versatility. That'll continue to grow. We've seen the pure shooter factor. That's obviously there. But we have seen him also attack the rim ferociously. We've seen him bully smaller guys when he does get those mismatch opportunities down on the block. He has a lot of tools at his disposal to be a lethal scorer all over the floor. The new prototypical hybrid stretch four that every winning team needs. He has the potential to be an all-star caliber, that quality player of that genre, of that type. And he's also, as I mentioned, already better than advertised on the defensive end. Sky's the limit.
So that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, we're live on Dash Radio Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days. Commercial-free live DJs as well. All the basketball fix you need on the Nothing But Net channel. Follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Follow all of our content over at LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. We have some guests to announce, too, as well, coming up this week and later into next week. We're excited for you guys. If anything breaks with the Nico Mirotić stuff, follow us on social media for up-to-date content. We'll see you tomorrow.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.